And now, let us go to our beautiful message from Our Lady of Guadalupe. From the book, The Guadalupe Madonna, Myth or Miracle, Dr. Jody Brandt Smith has given us the traditional, beautiful background. And in case you haven't seen the beautiful image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we will explain it here at the beginning. So now I read Dr. Jody Brandt Smith's words. Her head is tilted to the right. Her greenish eyes are cast downward in an expression of gentle concern. The mantle that covers her head and shoulders is of a deep turquoise, studded with gold stars and bordered in gold. Her hair is black, her complexion olive. She stands alone, her hands clasped in prayer, an angel at her feet. She is Our Lady of Guadalupe, a life-sized image of the Virgin Mary that appeared miraculously on the cactus cloth tilma, or cape, of Juan Diego, an Aztec peasant, in 1531, a mere dozen years after Hernán Cortés conquered Mexico for the King of Spain. For 450 years, the colors of the portrait have remained as bright as if they were painted yesterday. The coarse woven cactus cloth, which seldom lasts even 20 years, shows no signs of decay. Today, Juan Diego's tilma is preserved behind bulletproof glass in a magnificent new basilica in Mexico City, built especially to house the picture. It is placed where pilgrims can view it from as near as 25 feet. Yearly, an estimated 10 million bow down before the mysterious Virgin, making the Mexico City Church the most popular shrine in the Roman Catholic world next to the Vatican. It is not only Catholics who regard Our Lady of Guadalupe with awe and wonder. The highly respected philosopher F.S.C. Northrop, in The Meeting of East and West, wrote that the image conveys in some direct an effective way, a basic and intuitively felt element in the nature of things and in the heart of human experience, end of quote. After describing the unending stream of worshippers dropping to the floor at their first sight of the image, then moving forward on their knees, he said, quote, "Nothing to be seen in Canada or Europe equals it in the volume or the vitality of its moving quality or in the depth of its spirit of religious devotion," end of quote. Pope John Paul II, in his address in the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe on January 27, 1979, acknowledged the unwavering appeal of this unique portrait. Addressing the Virgin directly, he said, "When the first missionaries who reached America taught the rudiments of Christian faith, they also taught love for you, the mother of Jesus and of all people. And even since the time that the Indian Juan Diego spoke of the sweet lady of Tepeyac, you, mother of Guadalupe, have entered decisively into the Christian life of the people of Mexico." In the 1950s, an archaeologist, Father Ostrapovim, of the Russian Orthodox Church, was shown a copy of the painting, but was not told of the image's history or origin. He deduced that the painting was presumably Eastern Asiatic, definitely of the Byzantine type. The early Byzantine portraits of the Virgin are believed to approximate her actual appearance most closely. How had such an authentic portrait happened to turn up in Mexico, half a world away? According to 16th century documents in Nahuatl, the native Aztec language, Juan Diego, his wife, and his uncle had been among the first Aztecs to be converted by the Christian missionaries, who had accompanied the Spanish Spanish soldiers to Mexico. Juan was 50 years old at the time of his conversion, an advanced age in an era when few lived past 40. A religion that promised redemption and eternal life was far different from the harsh beliefs of the Aztecs, whose gods demanded human sacrifice. When Juan was 13, he may have witnessed the bloody ceremony dedicating a new temple in nearby Tenochtitlan, Mexico City, eventually called, in which some 80,000 captives were put to death. Juan's wife died 2 years after her conversion. They had no children, and Juan was left alone to take care of his aged uncle, who had been like a father to him. They lived in a hut with a thatched roof and dirt floor. Members of the Aztec class, servant class, they were among the poorest inhabitants of their small village 5 miles from Mexico City. On Saturday, December 9th, 1531, Juan Diego left his village before daybreak, so he would be in time to hear Mass celebrated at the Church of Santiago in the nearby village of Tlatilolco. On his way, as he passed around the base of a hill called Tepeyac, near which there had once been a shrine to the Aztec mother goddess, he heard a burst of bird song. At this bleak time of the year, few birds remained, and Juan looked up to see where the song was coming from. On the summit of the hill, he saw a bright light. Suddenly, the melodious bird song ceased, as abruptly as it had begun. From the barren rocks at the top of the hill, a voice called to him, "Juan! Juanito!" He climbed the hill quickly and saw on the summit a young woman who seemed to be no more than 14 years old, standing in a golden mist. She beckoned to him, and he knelt before her radiant presence. "Juanito," she said, "the most humble of my sons, where are you going?" "My lady," he replied, "I am on my way to church to hear Mass." "Know then," she continued, "that I am the ever-virgin Holy Mary, Mother of the true God. I wish that a temple be erected here without delay. Go to the bishop's palace in Mexico City and tell him what I desire." Assuring her that he would carry out her mission, Juan Diego descended the hill and continued along the road leading to Mexico City. At the bishop's palace, the servants kept him waiting for hours, but at last he was ushered in to the bishop's presence. Juan de Zumarraga, a Franciscan, who was to be formally elected bishop 2 years later, had come to Mexico in 1528 at the command of the King of Spain, Charles V. He was a powerful but kindly man who used his influence to lessen the cruelty with which the Spanish soldiers treated the Indians. He listened sympathetically as his interpreter translated Juan Diego's words from Nahuatl into Spanish, and in reply told Juan Diego to visit him again at some unspecified future date. It was clear to the Indian that he was not being believed. On his way home, with the sun setting in the west, he climbed once more to the top of Tepeyac and again saw the Virgin Mary. He told her that he had delivered her message, but that the bishop did not seem to believe him. He begged her to entrust her mission to someone more important, who would be more likely to be believed. But the Virgin insisted that the humble Indian was her chosen messenger. "I command that you go again tomorrow," she said, "and see the bishop. Go in my name, and make known my wish that he has to build a temple here, and again tell him that the ever-Virgin Holy Mary, Mother of God, sent you." Juan Diego promised to follow her instructions and return the following afternoon at sunset to give her the bishop's reply. The next day, a Sunday, Juan again left his home before dawn to go to the village church. It was nearly 10 o'clock before the morning services were completed, and Juan was able to leave for the bishop's palace. On arriving there, the humble Indian found it even more difficult to be admitted to the bishop's presence. Bishop Zumarraga had not expected the Aztec to return so soon. This time the bishop questioned Juan Diego more closely. The vivid detail with which the Aztec described his two meetings with the supposedly heavenly lady led him to believe that Juan was telling the truth. But perhaps the Indian was deluded. Zumarraga would have been happy to build another church to the honor and glory of the Blessed Virgin. Yet, if Juan Diego's story was a hoax, the church could lose a great deal of the ground it had gained with the Indians. What was needed was proof. He urged Juan to bring a sign from the heavenly lady that she had indeed spoken to him, and the bishop would then eagerly comply with her request. Juan agreed without hesitation. As soon as the Indian left, Zumarraga ordered two servants to follow him and report back. But as they neared Tepeyac Hill, they lost sight of him. They thought that he had deliberately eluded them, and they reported back to the bishop that he was not to be trusted. Juan Diego had no idea he was being followed. On the top of the hill, he gave the Blessed Virgin the bishop's message, and she told him to return the next day when she would give him the sign the bishop had requested. That was not to be, because when Juan reached home, he found that his uncle was desperately ill. The next day, a Monday, his condition had worsened. The uncle asked Juan to go at daybreak to the village church and bring back a priest to hear his confession, for he was certain he was dying. Before dawn on Tuesday, Juan Diego went to summon a priest. As he neared Tepeyac Hill, he decided to skirt the hill to avoid being detained by any further meeting with the Virgin Mary. But as he rounded the hill, he saw her standing to the plain. He was frightened that he had disappointed her and worried about his uncle. But she reassured him that his uncle would recover and that she was still anxious to provide the bishop with the sign he had requested. She instructed Juan to climb the hill to the same place where he had first seen her and spoken with her, and there to pick some roses and bring them back to her. Juan climbed the hill with misgivings. It was early December, and the barren hilltop was touched with frost. If there had ever been any roses blooming there, they would not be there now. But when he reached the hilltop, he found several varieties of roses of Castile in full bloom, the petals touched with morning dew. He gathered the roses and put them in his tilma, his loose cape made of two pieces of cactus cloth stitched together. He brought the blossoms to the Virgin, and she arranged them in the tilma, saying, "This is the proof and the sign you will take to the bishop. You will tell him in my name that he will see in them my wish, and that he will have to comply with it. Rigorously, I command you that only before the presence of the bishop will you unfold your mantle and disclose what you are carrying. You will tell him that I ordered you to climb the hilltop to go and cut the flowers, and that you saw and admired, and all that you saw and admired, so you can induce the prelate to give his support that a temple be built and erected as I have asked." When he reached the bishop's palace, he again had difficulty gaining admittance, until the bishop's servants saw the out-of-season roses peeking from the folds of the tilma. They informed the bishop of the gift the Indian was bringing him, and Zumarraga, guessing that what Juan Diego carried was the proof he had requested, ordered that he be admitted immediately. When Juan Diego entered, he knelt before the bishop and described his last encounter with the lady from heaven, and he then stood and untied his tilma from around his neck so that the roses fell on the floor in a heap. Suddenly, on the cactus cloth of the tilma, there appeared a brightly colored image of the Virgin Mary. The bishop fell to his knees, as did all those present. The next day, Juan Diego took the bishop to the hill where the apparition had appeared and where the Holy Mother had asked that a church be built in her name. The church at Tepeyac was designated the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in honor of a village in Spain where a small statue of the Virgin had been discovered 200 years earlier. News of the miraculous appearance of the Virgin's image on a peasant's cloak spread quickly throughout New Spain, Indians by the thousands learning that the mother of the Christian God had appeared before one of their own and spoken to him in his native tongue, came from hundreds of miles away to see the image hung above the altar of the new church. And, till today, people from around the world continue to visit Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas.